Welcome to Fantasy Football Today Dynasty. I am your host, Heath Cummings, here with Russ Fisher, and we are going to answer your Dynasty Fantasy Football questions today. We've got a mailbag for you. Russ, first time on the show. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much for considering my name in the pantheon of amazing people you have on your show.
Well, you know, I actually put the request out, what was it, 6 weeks ago, 8 weeks ago? Who should I have on FFT Dynasty in the next couple of months? And I will tell you, you were one of the leaders in the clubhouse. It wasn't one person or two people. It was multiple people that said we should have you on. And I agreed. I said, yes, I'd absolutely love to have Russ on for a lot of reasons. Now, you have in your Twitter profile that you like to podcast. Where have you been podcasting lately?
Sometimes I feel like it's easier to list where I'm not. I've thankfully cut back over the years. But I mean, let's start. I am the host of the Trade Addicts podcast, which I've been taking a little break from recording at night. So I haven't been on but the past few shows, but I'm coming back. Also one of the co-hosts of The Grind, which is on Peter Howard's YouTube stream, which again, yep, at night, coming back to it though. Dynasty Wall Street, which is on the Dynasty Trade Calculator podcast feed. We're at DLF, Dynasty Game Night. I am one of the hosts of that so much fun show on the DLF family of podcasts. Dynasty Wall Street, which is on the Dynasty Trade Calculator podcast feed. I think I said that already. The DLF YouTube show, the DLF Trade Show on the DLF YouTube channel. See, there's so many I never remember. I have to start going through the days. Like, all right, on Monday I record this, on Tuesday I record that.
So this happens to me during the season, but I wonder, do you ever like have an anxiety attack thinking, am I supposed to be on a podcast right now?
I am very thankful for having a very steady schedule that, like, if it was, all right, well, maybe Tuesday or Wednesday, whatever day works better, I would absolutely be freaking out. But I have a calendar specifically, a Google calendar specifically for podcasting.
Now, another thing, obviously you love podcasting. You also love Fantasy Cares. You love, and everybody knows, like, I've talked about this on this show a bunch of times. So tell everybody what's going on new at Fantasy Cares, including, I believe, maybe a March Madness bracket challenge on CBS.
Absolutely, a March Madness challenge on CBS. I mean, let's lead with that, right? I mean, it's March, and the first thing, like, it's weird to say March without having madness follow it. And we're jumping in on the madness. Fantasycares.org/NCAA. You go in, you make your donation, and you, in your email that you'll get after you make your donation, is the link. We both have a men's and women's bracket. So lots of ways to play, lots of ways to win. We have some awesome prizes. A random person, open for anyone who joins in. We have a signed Magic Johnson jersey.
Wow.
We have two, because there are two brackets. The winner of the men's and the women of the women's will get a signed Dominique Wilkins jersey. Now, I know these are for like the older folks, but unfortunately, we're older these purchases. So just go back and Google what Dominique Wilkins did back then, and you'll see why he's a grand prize.
I will tell you, you know what? If you would have been much happier if you'd have skipped the dunk contest this year and just watched YouTube videos of Dominique Wilkins in the dunk contest.
Yeah, it's so good. But we also have a ton of extra jerseys and, of course, Scott Fishbowl 14 tickets. You know, I keep these by my desk because I have to always say we have some golden tickets available for SFB 14. We're going to go live on our YouTube channel every week to give away prizes to people who scored the most, who did the best, maybe who had the biggest upset, just for showing up in the YouTube stream. We it's a problem. You know, Scott Fish, our fearless leader, gives us very angry looks that we just like giving stuff away.
Right.
So join up. And even if you can't, join us for the YouTube streams and maybe you'll win something, but we guarantee you'll have a good time.
I love the fact that we've got both the men's and the women's bracket. Oh, yeah. I will be participating in both, filling out both. We'll be probably picking Caitlin Clark to win it all because, you know, I'm a little bit of a homer, and why not? I understand that's probably not the best odds on bet, but man, she's fun to watch. So yes, excellent stuff. And remember, like, everything that's going on with Fantasy Cares is for the purpose of uniting this community to do good for other people. The amount of good we were able to do last year in terms of Toys for Tots and World Central Kitchen, and I mean, just a variety of other places, and it's already gotten started this year. So I would really encourage people, go be a part of that. There is a link in the YouTube show notes and also in the podcast show notes to where you can just click directly on that, go to the page, make a donation, join that March Madness content. Okay, on today's show, besides me saying words in the wrong order, we will have your mailbag. We get almost every question that I got seemed to be about trading, which is good because one of the responses to my request for questions was that Russ taught me everything I know about trading. So you seem to be the perfect guest to have on. This should have been that trading show with the trading expert. But we've got questions about trading rookie picks, about trading Travis Kelce, about trading Puka Nacua. Oof. Yes, and more. But first, we always start the show, especially when we have a new guest, three questions for our guest. And you are the first one getting the qualified question. I've asked this question to every guest I've had on, and enough people have answered Superflex that I'm taking that off the board. So other than Superflex, what is the one rule that is non-negotiable for you in Dynasty?
I need to say this because I will start out by saying every league I am in is Superflex. It's not necessarily a requirement, but if it is one quarterback, there needs to be some real fancy scoring.
Okay.
Like, Blake Bortles ruined us all is really what it comes down to. Blake Bortles, Jameis Winston, these sorry fans out there, but these bad quarterbacks that can score a lot of fantasy points, which was why Superflex became necessary. But I know there's a lot of people that have been toying with scoring that makes good quarterbacks score better than bad quarterbacks. So again, right. It doesn't need to be Superflex, but that's really... it would need to be very fancy scoring. Other than that, I don't really have a specific thing it needs to be. There's already people making fun of it in the comments. I always say I never league shame anybody. You know, right. You want to play in a six-team league, go play in a six-team league. You want to play one quarterback, play one quarterback. Anything you want is right. This is a game. It's supposed to be fun, except for two tight ends. That's wrong.
Okay, so one tight end slot in your lineup is your answer, and that's a new answer. That's what I was going for. I'm going to put the super flex in there. I'm going to get a new answer. Now we've got a new answer. No more two tight end leagues. The chat is absolutely agreeing with you. Okay, so question number two: what is the one thing that you care about the most when evaluating rookies? And you know, we have the stats versus film crowd, and then within the stats side, you've got, is it like production, or are we just looking at these advanced rate stats and that's all that matters? Or is it just the measurements? Like what is the one thing you care about the most when evaluating rookies?
I will be 100% honest. I don't do my own evaluation.
Right.
I know there are so many people that are so much better at anything right. I would ever want to try to do. I will say the Dynasty Dummies Rookie Hootenanny with Zach Reed and Jay Mike are like, that is my go-to. Like, they are so good at watching film and they talk about it first from an actual football perspective, which is missing a little bit in a lot of the fantasy football evaluation of these rookies, and then tie it back into fantasy football.
Right.
And then there's the numbers people, you know, JJ Zacharyson and Peter Howard and a lot of these people where it's just like, I don't know. Like, I'm good at math. I work in spreadsheets for a living. Mm-hmm. They say these things that I don't understand what it means. But then they start making it make sense and telling me why these players are good. So really, like, this is a question I can't super really answer.
No, I think you did answer it. Like, you did answer it. Like, I think that's an answer that more Dynasty managers should be comfortable with, not just about rookies, but about whatever aspect of Dynasty that you feel that way about. We're going to talk about trade evaluations in just a minute. Yep. Maybe that's it. But maybe it's fab. But like, if there's something you don't really feel like you're an expert on, the most important thing should probably be figuring out which experts that you do want to base your understanding around. So I like that answer a lot. One more, and you've kind of dodged the first two, so you're gonna have to give an actual name here. Who is your favorite veteran buy this offseason?
Oh, wait, hold on. Let me just move my head for a little bit. I'm a very big T. Higgins fan. I run around screaming hashtag Team Clemson big wide receiver. Okay. It was funny. It's not something I realized I was doing, but I was a See, exactly. I was a big DeAndre Hopkins fan. I loved Sammy Watkins. Martavis Bryant was so much fun. I loved T. Higgins. I'm like, wait a second. There's something here. There's something. And then I realized that I just become a fan of a lot of Clemson big wide receivers. And unfortunately for Amari Rodgers and Hunter Renfrow, I had to throw the word big in there because,
right.
I mean, they were okay. But, well, I mean, Amari Rodgers wasn't even really okay. But other, like, again, I know it's, there's a question like this coming a little later, so I don't want to just give all my answers here. But I know for a fact that I have sent offers in just about every single league for T. Higgins that I don't have him already.
Okay, so let's talk about that, because I, in my most recent update, had him at wide receiver 17. Now, that was before the tag, but I was mostly assuming the tag. Wide receiver 17, which is behind DK Metcalf, DeVonta Smith, Jordan Addison, Tank Dell, is ahead of Brandon Ayuk, Drake London, Michael Pittman. I know somebody in the chat actually had asked earlier, how do you feel about T. Higgins versus Brandon Ayuk?
Yeah.
That's one of those where I just wouldn't make a decision. Whichever one I have on my team, I'll just keep them. But yep. does that seem like I'm in the right spot, or are you high enough to where you think he's like a top 12 dynasty wide receiver?
In my heart, he is top 12. I will say that. In reality, I know he's not. And I hate the franchise tag more. It ruins wide receiver free agency completely. And I'm not holding my breath for the mythical tag and trade. You know, I'll believe that happens when we see it more than once in the past, like 30 years. So in my head, I mean, but being on the Bengals isn't a bad thing.
Right.
You know, assuming he's willing to play on the tag, it's great to be back. It's last season was so bad for the Bengals in general. But if you look back with a healthy Joe Burrow and a healthy T. Higgins, which we only got for about like 2.5 games, by the way.
Right.
Higgins was averaging about 7 targets, 80 yards, and just about a touchdown a game. Like, for the second wide receiver on a team, that's great.
Like, oh, yes, right.
And that's not even including what spike games could happen. And, of course, there's going to be Jamar Chase games. Again, not sad that he's on the Bengals. Do I want him to go to Jacksonville and be the wide receiver one because they're not going to sign Calvin Ridley back because they don't want to give the Falcons a second? Yeah, I would love for him to be the first target for Trevor Lawrence, but still not sad he's on the Bengals.
Okay, I like that answer. That's enough of my questions. Let's take a short break. We're going to get to your questions and see if Russ and I can answer any of those. Okay, Russ, we are back. We've got some emails. We've got some tweets. I will open it up in the chat for whoever wants to get ridiculous just a little bit later. But let's start with an email from Logan. And I think it's a little bit of rookie pick FOMO is what Logan's got here. So he actually received a trade offer. Somebody offered him Breece Hall and AJ Brown for Travis Etienne and the 104 in a 10-man PPR league. He took the trade. I would have taken the trade. He's very happy with the trade, but now he's feeling a little bit sad that he can't draft any of these wide receivers. And so his question is, how often do you trade your first round picks? He finds himself constantly trading picks for players around draft season. He never actually gets to draft in round one.
So the important thing I will say is no trade is ever your last. So yeah, you had to take that trade. I'm sorry. That value is great.
Right.
You got a really good trade offer and you took it. That is the absolute correct answer. And the question of, you know, how often do I trade my firsts away? It is a rare situation where I have a team that is competing and I have my first round pick. Because the truth is, chances are, I'd rather have someone who is getting drafted earlier. So I do exactly what you just did. I'll trade my first away. And then when it comes down to it, trade for someone else's. You know, I am always willing to trade my first away on a competing team because I want a better draft pick than what I'm going to end up doing. In my head, it's going to be, I play in 12 team leagues. It's going to be the 112. Why do I want the 112? I'd rather have the 1-6. So I'll trade for that later. Of course, price will change and you'll have to pay up for it.
Right.
But I'm also absolutely a proponent of just go do it because you want to. So again, you should literally be skipping somewhere after accepting that trade. Great, great trade. And yeah, it's a little disheartening to not have any first, but just go trade for one later. I'm sure you have something on there you could move.
I think a couple of points that you made there that I really like. One, I would like to have two or three firsts because I'm not competing, or zero is generally the way that I work. And then the thing I get nervous about trading for players this time of year is, man, there's a lot of time for something to go wrong before they're going to score any fantasy points. But when you're trading for Breece Hall and AJ Brown, I'm okay with that. I don't want to be trading for Saquon Barkley and Tony Pollard and Devontae Adams and Travis Kelce this time of year, because if something goes wrong with them, the value never bounces back. If something goes wrong with Breece Hall, we've seen it. It took about four games and oh yeah, he's awesome again. I think if you're going to make those types of trades, make sure you're trading for players who you think have value beyond the next year in case something goes wrong for the next year. But if you're trading, what's that?
Age. If you're trading for players now, they should be younger, but I'm always trading for Travis Kelce, but I think we're talking about that later. Also,
we will talk about Travis Kelce later. I think I don't want to go so far as to say never trade for those other guys, but I will pay more for a Saquon Barkley type in October or November.
That is
considerably more than I will now.
Yes.
Question number two. We were full agreement there. Matt has a super flex rebuild. He gave us a little bit of, it's a rebuild. He's got Anthony Richardson, though, Geno Smith, Ayuk, Hollywood Brown, Nico, James Cook, Jaden Reed, Njoku. More importantly, he's got 103, 106, 109, 111, 112, 203, 205. It's six of the top 17 picks, seven of the top 17 picks. Good job. That's exactly where you want to be.
Yep.
I want to know, what would your game plan be here? It is a super flex league. Anthony Richardson's really his only surefire starting quarterback, and he's played like five games before he got hurt. Does he have to take a quarterback at 103 is kind of the first question. And he knows the first two teams drafting ahead of him are going to take a quarterback.
Okay. Draft for value, trade for need. Yep. You shouldn't go into a rookie draft saying my team will be able to compete because of these rookies I drafted. Mm-hmm. You get lucky if it does. I mean, we've gotten very spoiled the last few years, finding a couple of these rookies that produce right away, you know, not even counting Puka. Like, that is, never expect Puka to happen again. That shouldn't have happened.
What do you mean? We got 2 months of, this is the next Puka Nacua. This is the next Tank Dell. This is the next Puka Nacua.
It's not supposed to happen. Even CeeDee Lamb, Justin Jefferson, Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase, that shouldn't happen either.
Right.
Wide receivers at best are supposed to start coming on the last 6-7 weeks of the season, if they're lucky, in their rookie year. You never really should depend on rookies to produce for you right away, which is why you always want running backs, maybe, yes, but not this year. Draft for value, trade for need. You are handicapping yourself by saying, well, Marvin Harrison Jr. is on the table, but I need a quarterback. And this quarterback is worth less. Of course, if you can trade back a pick, let someone take Marvin Harrison Jr. so you can take May or McCarthy or whatever quarterback you like as next. Daniels completely blanked. That's cool also. But taking a positional need, which, first of all, you don't need any position. We're going to talk about this a lot. I read through the questions. It's March. The drafts, your rookie drafts most likely happen in May. You're not setting a lineup for many, many months. You have zero needs right now. So all that matters for your dynasty team is the dynasty value on your roster. So the best move in my mind is to always just draft the most valuable player. If it's not something you need, someone in your league will need them.
So in Superflex, would you have Marvin Harrison ahead of the third quarterback, whether it's Daniels or May? And just in terms of just blanket value?
It's tough for me to say yes, because they're going to be drafted. The quarterbacks are going to be drafted 1, 2, 3.
Right.
But it would be very weird if they weren't. So it's hard not to put them 1, 2, 3, but it's Marvin Harrison Jr. I want him at 2, and I'm fine with that. Honestly, go take him at 1 if that makes you happy. Marvin Harrison Jr. doesn't come along very often.
Now, in this type of situation, this is a lot invested in one draft class.
Oh, yeah.
Would you be interested in either packaging a couple of picks to try to get to the 101 to see if you could get Caleb, or maybe trading one of those later firsts for a 2025 first, just to diversify amongst draft classes a little bit?
I love having this many draft picks, because my mantra is trade half, draft half.
Okay.
It is the ultimate safety mechanism. It stops me from making bad decisions. The amount of Jalen Ragers and I took over Justin Jefferson. Sorry, Eagles. But like it stops me from making a lot of mistakes, but also, like you said, it lets you kick the can a little bit down the road. So you can get into 25. You can go get these players, because especially when you're on the clock in your drafts, you'll see some players that you're not thrilled about. And they're like, but this guy wants in, and he has T. Higgins, Brandon Ayuk, like these older wide receivers in the heaviest quotes possible, that you might be able just to make that swap at the time when you're at the 6 or 7 or 8. So yeah, I love having all these picks. Okay. I'm not drafting all those picks. And right. You're right.
Kick trade, some of trades of the future.
Keep it going.
Okay. Kelly is going into their second year of a dynasty league and has a few questions. Seems like more about league management than team management, which is good. We do this too. And I think these are important questions, but I'm not sure we can give blanket answers. It might be something we need to vote on. When do you recommend opening rosters back up for waivers and trading? Kelly's suggestion was to do that April 1st, 2 weeks after the free agent period starts. And then the second question was, after rookie drafts, are you going to lock rosters again until the preseason? I'll start this time because I do have a pretty strong preference, and I don't know if you do or not.
Oh, I do.
First off, I think this discussion should be completely different for trading and waivers.
Yes.
I don't have a strong feeling on the trade deadline between, say, Thanksgiving and New Year's Eve. I think you make good cases on an in-season trade deadline before the playoffs. You can make a good case for not having it between Thanksgiving and New Year's Eve. I'm giving people a grace period. You guys decide what you want to do. Trading should be always open in the offseason. There's no reason to restrict that at all at any point. I would restrict waivers personally for almost the entire offseason. I like to not have waivers after the end of the regular season. I like to not have waivers at the end of the rookie draft. I love when we get to July or August or whenever we set that first waivers run. I mean, I'm in dynasty leagues where guys who made real difference this year were available. Kyren Williams had been dropped in some dynasty leagues because of everything that had gone wrong, and they got picked up week two in a dynasty league. Yep. Especially in deeper leagues, there's so little opportunity for excitement on the waiver wire that I think closing down the waiver wire for a good portion of the offseason gives you that. Plus, and Kelly makes this point, nobody actually wants to be the one who has to make sure that Rob Gronkowski was rostered when he signs in the middle of April. Let's just all find out together that, Rob Gronkowski is a free agent. So that's my stance. For the most part, don't restrict trading time. Heavily restrict off-season waivers.
All right. So I'm going to go back to what I said earlier. Play what makes you happy.
Right.
I'm going to start speaking very emphatically, and I don't mean it to come off standoffish, because this is one thing you should play whatever makes you happy.
Right.
I am absolutely against trade deadlines.
Okay.
This is a dynasty league. This isn't real football. If you ask someone why you are in favor of a trade deadline, every argument they will give is not for a trade deadline. It's against not having a trade deadline. And more importantly, it's usually protecting themselves against crappy managers, which is a very different problem. That's a people problem, not a trading problem. But that's not what I'm going to start fighting about. If you want to have a trade deadline, I think it needs to be kickoff of playoffs.
Okay.
And I know everyone's going to say, well, trade deadline spurs action. Needing a player in the playoffs spurs action. Right. Let me tell you, there's players that will get traded in the playoffs that should never get traded. Like, you're going to get third wide receivers because people are afraid of their depth. Like, that's not going to happen at the trade deadline. Plus, not everyone knows. People are going to start to get sheepish if it's like, well, I would rather get the 104 and just lose instead of missing the playoffs. So if you're going to have a trade deadline, I think it should be kickoff of playoffs. Yeah. If you have a trade deadline, trading should start the second there is a champion in your league.
Right.
The second the league year is over, open up trading again. There's literally zero reason to cap it.
Agreed.
Dynasty is supposed to be about year-round.
It's completely different from waivers in that one person who happens to be paying attention at a certain time can't execute a trade. Yeah. You got to have two people. So it's like, it's not like one person's going to great advantage. Now, do you agree on the free agency, or would you like to leave that open in the offseason as well?
A little bit. I run a lot of leagues. I run about 17 right. leagues. So laziness and not wanting to have to click so many buttons absolutely comes in. What I will do is I will leave waivers open, and all of my leagues are on myfantasyleague.com, right. which they do their rollover from 1 year to the next, like a week, couple of days after the Super Bowl. So I leave waivers open until the MFL rollover.
Right.
So you have a couple of weeks after the fantasy league ends, a week at most, one waiver run after the Super Bowl, and then it's cut off. The next part is really how you do your rookie drafts. My rookie drafts include free agents.
Yes, mine too.
If that's the case, I have my waivers locked until after the rookie draft. Because you want, if Kyren Williams-esque players right. get dropped, you want them in the rookie draft. That changes the value of your rookie picks. It makes people want to trade in, even if it's just like in the third round, anything that could add action to what usually could be boring things is absolutely worth it. So if you get someone trading into the third round of a rookie draft to go pick up a free agent, awesome, more stuff. And I mean, he brings up notifications. It's like, so turn off your waiver notifications for the offseason. I mean, I don't know what to tell you on that one. You know, action makes a league good. So why restrict it?
Yeah, no, I think we're mostly on the same page. I'm a little more restrictive in terms of waivers, and I think it depends on what your waivers process is and keeping track of fab in the offseason and all that stuff. But let's get to Alexander's question. He's got another trade question here. 12-team, half PPR, one QB. It's a super flex league with some other random stuff, but it seems like pretty standard league. He has 101, 107, 109, but he's a competitive team. Maybe we put that in air quotes because he earned the 107 last year. Needs a QB2. Could use some wide receiver help. Not sure if he should make the 101 pick in this situation. Someone has offered him Dak, Brandon Ayuk, and the 112 for 101 and Luke Musgrave. For some reason, it's very comical to me that Luke Musgrave's included in this trade.
Like, I got love Dak, I love when that stuff happens.
Dak, Brandon Ayuk, and the 112. And the guy's like, no, it's not just the 101. I need Luke Musgrave in that deal also. So, like, what he's trying to figure out is, like, if I feel like Dak and Ayuk make me, like, a real contender, is that worth giving up the 101 for, it sounds like?
I think this is a good enough package for the – like, it's not – I hate – social media for the fact that you see some trades that are just like, that shouldn't happen in real life, but it builds your expectations on what you want to get for the 101. Caleb Williams most likely will be a first round startup pick in Superflex startup right. drafts, not rookie, just startup drafts.
Right.
You need a lot for that. Dak Prescott, Brandon Ayuk, and the 112 is a lot.
Right.
That is two players that will be in your starting lineup, two players you will be happy to start every week. And the 112 is just a nice sugar on top. And I love when people put Luke Musgrave and stuff in because, again, I play everything on myfantasyleague.com. They list in order of position and then alphabet. So if this trade was on my fantasy league, I had to read a trade where it was Matt Breida and the 101 for a bunch of other stuff. And I made sure I left Matt Breida's name as the first thing I read in that entire trade, because what was he doing there? Why did someone involve Matt Breida in a trade? But his name was there. I take this. Like, I don't care that Dak is like 30, 31. He's going to play for however, like, quarterbacks at that age doesn't matter. That offense is him and CeeDee Lamb are just great together. They're going to infuse something at the running back. Tony Pollard's probably going to walk. And since that didn't work out, they're going to do something to bring back that running game. I like that offense. I love Brandon Ayuk. Part of me is hoping his unhappiness in San Francisco gets him traded, because that guy deserves some volume. And while the offense in San Francisco is amazing, it's too spread out, and right, it right. should be. That is that offense. That offense works. They should not change. But Brandon Ayuk deserves a change.
The so nice thing for him, that. I think, because it is really crowded. But you're talking about a 30-year-old George Kittle and a 27 or 28-year-old Christian McCaffrey. Like, he's probably 1 year away from it not being near as crowded.
But, probably, yeah. But I call myself a Ruka Salt. Like, I want it now. I patience is not a virtue I possess. Like, you know, go put T. Higgins in Jacksonville. Go put Brandon Ayuk in Carolina. You know, let Bryce Young take that step forward by having a real X receiver on his team. Like, let's go.
Yeah, that's something we could spend a little bit of time on. That's a wild idea that going to play with Bryce Young might be a good thing. Let's take a quick break, and we're going to get into the tweets. We're moving from the emails to the tweets next. Okay, so we've got, I'm going to get in trouble reading Twitter handles, so I'm not going to say who they're from. You know who you are if you tweeted me this. Can you talk about trading draft picks for current player equivalents? Like, let's say in standard, I'm going to say we're one QB there.
Yeah.
You look at 104 as either Brock or Rome. That's Brock Bowers or Rome Odunze. What's an ideal return for a win now team with that pick or for a rebuild team? And I would say if I had the 104, I'm probably not looking to trade that pick for a player that's already in the league. So good, I'd make the pick for like, we're not talking about the 101 with Harrison. We're not talking about maybe one of the top two or three picks, but an early to mid first round pick. What caliber of player are you hoping to get if you're trading during the draft?
Draft picks are always more valuable than players.
Right.
That is something to keep in your mind when you're doing all of this, because draft picks come with two things: choice and hope. And those are very, very powerful. Players in the league, you can have hope, but we've seen things. Like, I have a whole lot more hope that Jaxon Smith-Njigba is going to do so much better than he did his rookie year. But still, we've seen him play in the league.
Right.
We've seen him start working his way into the offense. But Rome Odunze, Brock Bowers being a better prospect than Kyle Pitts, being the end-all, be-all, maybe he's getting drafted in the first round. There's no maybe there. So just make sure you're taking that into account when you're thinking about this. Like, there are two ways to go about this. How do you feel about Brock Bowers or Rome Odunze? Take that. Do you like it better or worse than this player that's being offered to you? Like, one-to-one pick for player trades is easy to think about, because it's just like, would I rather have the hope and chance of, you know, X player over Rome Odunze?
Let's put this like to action, because let's just stick with Odunze for a second. Let's assume you have the pick that you think is going to be that guy, but you are wanting to win it all this year and you don't think he's going to be that guy this year. So I've got DK, T. Higgins, Brandon Ayuk all in that high-end wide receiver two range. You're trading him for all those guys, any of those guys, none of those guys, that 104 pick?
I would trade the 104 pick for, probably any of those guys if I was feeling saucy about it. I think once the actual rookie draft rolls around, you might be able to get a second or a third added to the player to come over, which there's never a harm in just countering with that anyway, you know, getting a little bit on top. But I think that's a great move if you want the certainty. You've seen DK Metcalf score as a top 15 wide receiver. We've seen Brandon Ayuk, T. Higgins score as a top 18 wide receiver. Like, we've seen these things happen. I believe Rome Odunze or Brock Bowers are going to bust? No, they're both very, very good prospects and probably going to land in good spots. But there's a chance, you know, we've had better prospects do worse. So I don't think there's harm in trading for established players, but you need to be very certain about it. And you need to make sure you're getting enough value, knowing that draft picks will always gain value until your rookie draft, until it's on the clock.
Right.
So keep that in mind, that if you're iffy about it, that trade's not going away. If someone offers you DK Metcalf for the 104 right now, they will offer you DK Metcalf for the 104 in 2 months. So don't feel like you have to rush.
Right. And again, I'll go back to the point that we made when we were talking about the AJ Brown, Breece Hall trade. The three guys I chose because those are all three guys that we think have at least a three-year window of being as great as they have been. And those are the only types of players that you should be trading for right now. Don't make the mistake of making that trade for a Cooper Kupp last year,
yeah,
or something like that. And I think I would throw even Tyreek Hill into that group. Like he's gotten to be 30 now. I'm not saying I think he's going to be awesome next year,
yeah,
but if I'm trading for him, I'd rather trade for him in like the season as opposed to
absolutely
now.
Absolutely. Or if you're going to trade for him, you don't do it with an early first.
Now I mentioned this at the top of the show and I did not expect any, should I trade Puka Nacua trades, but I mean, you do not go broke making a profit. And there's an enormous profit to be made based on Puka's rookie year. Yep. And somebody, it sounds like, has a deal here where he's being offered in a 1QB league. And we're getting a lot of 1QB questions today. That's good because we probably talked super flex enough. He's got the 103 and the 108 on the table for Puka Nacua. In super flex, I think this is an easy one to say yes to. But that 108 particularly is a big drop in a 1QB league. A 103 I still feel pretty great about. So you're probably talking about Adunze or Neighbors, one of the two.
Yeah.
Plus the eighth pick in the rookie draft for Puka Nacua. Where do you come out on that?
Well, I mean, my assumption is one and two in 1QB drafts are going to be Marvin Harrison and Malik Neighbors.
Yep.
And so taking them off the board makes me not interested in this at all. Them two are a tier of their own, or if you want to have Marvin Harrison one tier, Neighbors two tiers, and then Adunze, Bowers three. I made the joke before about you should go skip somewhere for taking that Breece Hall trade. Unless you are not trading Puka away, unless you feel like someone made a mistake in the offer they sent over. Okay. Like they didn't mean to send me this much, did they? But I'm going to accept it anyway. And if they made a mistake, they'll let me know. Like there's no, like you said, getting a profit is great, but literally the best rookie season receiver season ever. You hold on to that when you can. So I don't take this trade. Let me say that, you know, right, flat out.
But would you rather have Harrison or Puka?
Say it again.
Would you rather have Harrison or Puka?
I mean, the answer is Harrison. Harrison's going to be worth more. And again, to me, right, that's really what matters right now, because in 2 months, you'll be able to trade Harrison for probably even Amon-Ra St. Brown plus a little bit.
Well, the reason I ask that is I do think if you're thinking, you know, I wouldn't mind getting off of Puka, and you're hearing we wouldn't do it unless you could get Harrison, I might at least call the team with the 101 and say, hey, is there any chance you'd move back to three if I threw an eight?
Yeah.
Like, would you take three and eight for one? And then you're turning Puka into Marvin Harrison. And I think we both feel pretty good about that deal. So you don't always have to trade for something to keep it. You can trade for picks or players to use them also to get what you really want. So keep that.
Talk to the 101 person first before you do that. Look, if I were so happened to find my way into these picks, would you do that trade?
Right.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Also, like I said before, no trade is ever your last. If you have an active enough league, doing things to gain value is absolutely the right move. But also, like Heath said, if you want to get off Puka, you're more willing to do not as valuable of a trade, but still, I don't feel like Rome Adunze and Brock Bowers are both going to be drafted in the first round. They're going to hold a lot of value, but that 108 is in a one quarterback is a little too late for me to care about it.
And speaking of, I think we probably get into this range in the next question. When are you starting to look at running backs in rookie drafts? The top of the guys are late first, early second. And this is something I've talked about several times on the show over the last two or three weeks, because when I see the top 12 rankings right now in super flex leagues, it's very popular to just have zero running backs in your super flex top 12. And if I was doing a rookie draft right now, actually before without landing spots, I think I probably wouldn't draft a running back either. But I'm very convinced that by the time we get to May, there are going to be two running backs in the top 12. And there's a significant chance there's going to be one running back in the top nine. Just because somebody's going to get drafted in round two to one of these 14 teams that need a starting running back.
Yeah.
And we're going to decide that or at least one person in each league is going to decide that's better than drafting this third tier of wide receivers or JJ McCarthy or something like that. So are you thinking just strictly round two for these running backs, or do you think there's a possibility they get bumped up once we get landing spots?
They will get bumped up once the landing spots roll around. We as a dynasty community have this need to have running backs in the first round. So it's going to happen. Right. It seems to happen a lot with Tampa Bay running backs. You know, we pushed up Keyshawn Vaughn, and I'm blanking on others. I mean, Rashad White deserved to be up there. But, you know, we did it with James Cook last year, his rookie year, which it took time, but he kind of got to being worth it a little bit. So we absolutely will push a running back into that number 12 spot, if nothing else, in a super flex league, let me say. In a 1QB, absolutely top 12.
Right.
I think for the advantage of these running backs, there's a lot of open spots.
right.
So there's a lot of places running backs can go where they can produce pretty much immediately, even if it is as a 1A, 1B, and workhorses are almost a thing of the past again. You know, it's a nice cycle. But they will work their way up. In a super flex league, I am not planning on drafting a running back in the first.
Right.
I also didn't really plan on drafting Devon Achane in the first, but took him with a whole lot of 111s last year because when there's a tier, you have to have a tiebreaker somehow. And it's like, all right, well, a running back landed in Miami, so I'm going to take that.
I think that's one of the interesting things about it is that like those 110, 111 drafters, 112 drafters, if they earned those picks.
Yeah.
Like I agree with you, draft for value, trade for need. But if you're a real contender, and you get a running back, and this it's a drinking game at this point, I think. So I'll just go ahead and say it. Yep. Blake Corum on the Chargers in round two. I did this poll on Twitter 2 weeks ago, like, where's Blake Corum getting drafted? And the answer was 110 to 112, I think, was what was most popular. If he's the first running back taken by the Chargers. I think there's no way he doesn't end up in the top eight. Just because of assuming they don't draft a free agent or they don't select a free agent high as well. But yeah, it's going to be interesting to watch. It'll probably end up with one in the top 12, but I wouldn't be surprised if we have two. Definitely early round two, though. Like if you want to take a couple shots on running backs in this draft, go see if you can get you some cheap round two picks. And there's about six of them that right now seem almost indistinguishable to us. So you might get the guys with the worst landing spot. Sometimes that turns out to be okay. Todd asks a question that's similar to mine, Todd. In fact, exactly the same. What is your number one must-have buy-low candidate? He asks for each position. That's too much to ask, Russ. So you've already given us T. Higgins as your favorite wide receiver buy-low this offseason. Give me a non-wide receiver.
I mean, I can give you every
position.
I can give you like four at every position, probably. My quarterbacks that I'm buying low right now, and again, low is relative. People aren't high enough on Kyler Murray again yet. And it's weird. Mm-hmm. Kyler Murray had his worst points per game finish this season as QB 10. That's ridiculous. Like, he's really, really good. And he's not back in that mid early first round of startup drafts yet. Kyler Murray should be a top six quarterback, and he's not yet. But also, we talked about Dak Prescott. Dak Prescott, all he does is score points. It's just not pretty. Right. So I'm all about getting Dak Prescott on my teams as well. Running back, I believe in DeAndre Swift. I do. I don't know why. That offense in general just took a swing for the worst in Philadelphia. Either they re-sign him in Philadelphia or he goes somewhere else where he will be at worst a 1B. And it's not going to take much. You can probably get him for a mid-second at this point, right, which, again, you're throwing darts at running backs in that area anyway. So I absolutely like the idea of pulling DeAndre Swift on some of my teams. But also, like, the free agent running backs, like Saquon Barkley, you can probably get him for a very late first. And And imagine if he ends up on the Chargers. Like, if he ends up anywhere but the Giants, like, put him on a good offense, and it will be scary. Like, Christian McCaffrey scary. Maybe not Christian McCaffrey scary, because he's not real. He's fake. Like, that's not fair. Wide receiver, I gave T. Higgins, but I'm also just a fan of the old producing guys, Keenan Allen. You know, like, we said that Larry Fitzgerald was done and retiring for about 7 years until he did.
Right.
So I'm Davante Adams, Keenan Allen, stuff.
But are
like
those
that.
Those are the types of guys you'd like to wait until in the season to buy, right?
Oh, see, I'll buy them now because you'll get them cheaper now. Like you can probably get Cooper Kupp for a mid second right now.
If that's the case, I would
again,
yes.
It'll be a late first. Again, nothing wrong with paying that wait. I called it the wait and see tax. You know, I can get this guy now, but he might not do well. Okay, I saw him do well. I have to pay a little extra, but now I feel less scared of it. Right. You pay the veteran tax by waiting till points are being scored. I call it the point scoring season. You know, you if you want guys that score points cheaper, you get it when no one's scoring points, like running backs in general. Tight ends. My answer is Travis Kelce. Travis Kelce is the tight end one until he decides not to play football anymore, which I'm a little worried is right now. But getting a guy who has been the tight end one for producing tight end one, which he was for most of the season, in points per game because he missed a few games in the beginning, for a second is ridiculous, especially if there's the slightest bit of tight end premium in your leagues.
So that leads us right into our next question. Great job, Russ. You obviously do a million podcasts a week. Somebody is actually thinking about trading away Travis Kelce. And that's very understandable. Like I get it. At his age, they'd like to just get a little something now because if they don't, they might not ever get anything again.
Yeah.
And so you were just talking about how it'd be great to be able to go get Kelce for a second. If somebody's ready to move off of them, you're requiring a late first still?
You won't get it. You won't get it. Again, if you have the patience, which I hope for the rest of you do, you're going to have to wait until points are being scored for Travis Kelce to get his value back. Because again, he's very, very good at football. And we've seen elite players in general produce at elite ages, very, very late in their career. Like Tony Gonzalez was and Antonio Gates were 47 and still top to scoring tight ends. So I'm not scared at all about Travis Kelce's production, but if you want to trade him away, if you're worried more about value, if you're rebuilding, retooling, you don't want to score the points. If you want to score points, hold Travis Kelce. He's going to keep doing it. If you're trading him now, try and get 2 seconds try and get a first, obviously.
Right.
But I think you might have to be willing to accept the equivalent of maybe an early and a mid second, which isn't terrible, especially in this year's deep class. If you can get the 202 and Dallas Goedert, you know, some you have Laporta, so you don't need another tight end. So like some mid-low wide receiver two kind of player to throw in there also. Yeah, you take that because it's a good enough value.
Andrew brings up that Andy Reid said after the Super Bowl, the Chiefs were saving his legs for the playoffs. And I think we've seen the Packers do that a little bit with Aaron Jones the last couple of years as well. So that might be a little bit of a reason to be concerned about Travis Kelce. It's really going to depend.
Did you see him on the sideline when he was out for one play?
In the playoffs.
I'm not worried about Travis Kelce's competitiveness going away. He will want to be out there. He will see a play go poorly and be like, I would have done that right. So I'm not really worried about it because, again, you have him on your roster already. You're not paying to bring him over. It's house money at this point. He will still score as a top scoring tight end, even if he's not the tight end one by 7 points per game, which he has been.
Let's go a little rapid fire fun at the end of the show and get your chat questions ready. We'll answer those here in just a moment. Do you think this upcoming Scott Fishbowl theme might be the GOAT theme?
We feel that almost every single year. I'm currently wearing 2 Scott Fishbowl thing. I have my Reese's shirt because last year was food, and I may have gone broke buying all of these shirts. Because food is just so easy because you get food in restaurants. There's so much stuff. I have my Scott Fishbowl 11 shirt on, sweatshirt on, which was music, which again, went broke with the amount of stuff. But movies is my jam. I worked at a movie theater for 3 years, a movie store, because yes, those used to exist, for a couple of years as well. So this is my favorite. This absolutely to me is the GOAT because there's so many possibilities and so many fun ideas.
So you like movies, but you hate fun. Why are you so against fun and won't watch The Office or Parks and Rec?
Well, I have watched Parks and Rec many, many times. That is one of my favorite shows. But at this, I've watched The Office straight through, the American Office. I've seen a bit of the English Office. But at this point, I will refuse to watch it again just to make John Bosch angry because it's his favorite show and what he quotes more than anything else. Mm-hmm. But he also loves throwing out random sci-fi gifs and saying hashtag Star Wars gif because I'm a huge geek. And okay. He knows calling things that aren't Star Wars will annoy me. But I got to be honest, The Office was good. It's funny. I get it. It's just not my... The second Pam and Jim got together, there was never anything close to a compelling storyline. So it was just based on the characters that didn't change.
I
may have just lost you a lot of viewers. I'm sorry.
No, I think just you. just people. People are blocking you on Twitter now. Yeah, it's
lots
okay.
of unfollows.
They're not
lots
going to hold unfollows. This. Listen. Anybody who's listening to me also listens to Adam Azer. They've heard much worse TV and movie takes. It's okay. Bob Gilchrist and my forebetting was off here, but he actually sent us a tweet and he said he heard that you maybe give things away on the Fantasy Cares YouTube page. And he wanted to know how he could be involved in that.
Oh, well, if you want to be involved in anything in Scott Fishbowl, you absolutely follow at FantasyCares.org on every social media. At FantasyCares.org on YouTube, which is very important. Subscribe and hit that bell so you get a notification every time we go live. I love sounding like a YouTuber. I hear it coming out of my kids' rooms all the time. But once the theme has been decided, like which we just have, we announced that it's movies, things are getting real now. We're setting up on our side. We're setting up the divisions. We're getting excited. We want to start giving stuff away. Like, we want to start giving away tickets into Scott Fishbowl. Again, I love that it's movie themed because we actually made Wonka-esque golden tickets to get in. So it's absolutely go subscribe to the YouTube channel, and we go live weekly at least. And we're going to start giving stuff away, you know, Funko Pop, signed jerseys, spots into SFB. It's a problem because our boss gets angry at us, but we have too much fun and that's all I care about.
Okay. We got a question here from somebody who just took over a new team. They have Christian McCaffrey and Jalen Hurts, but other than that, it's a complete rebuild. What should I be looking to get in return for those guys? I saw a question actually on Twitter in response to ours that I didn't get to, that somebody had asked what they could get for McCaffrey. And the answer was a mid first or a late first and a second.
It is very hard to trade away a 28, 29 year old running back in March. Again, patience is the best virtue you can have, especially with McCaffrey, waiting until people are about to score points. Like I said, I don't care about what my lineups are in March, but like August is going to roll around and I'm going to go into my app and start clicking those. I start 10 players in my leagues. I'm going to start clicking those 10 buttons just to see what my lineup looks like. That's when you strike. That's when you start messaging people. You look a little weak at running back. Right. I got this Christian McCaffrey guy. But Jalen Hurts, I saw, I think I got tagged in a tweet or someone DM'd me and they talked about, they got Kyler Murray in the 107 in a super flex league for Jalen Hurts. And I loved that.
Okay.
It seems a little hard to trade away right now, which is strange because he's still a top three quarterback for me. But especially if I'm trying to get a quarterback back in the trade, I'm not downgrading too much. Like, I don't want to go past that second, third tier of like that Trevor Lawrence. I still put Justin Fields there because I don't care where he plays. He's going to score fantasy points. Like, I'm not going down to like the Kirk Cousins, even those older guys that are producing. And then I want picks or production on top. Okay. If I'm rebuilding like you are, then you don't want production. You just go get Kyler Murray in the 107, something like that. Trevor Lawrence and the 106, you know, something along those lines.
Right. And I think like this, the McCaffrey thing is the same equation as the Kelsey, is how much risk do you want to carry into the season? You can get more for McCaffrey, assuming he starts the first month of the season like he played the last 5 years when he's been healthy.
Yep.
If he tears an ACL, you may never get anything for him ever again. And yeah. So you have to decide, like, if I get this offer of somebody will give me 105 for Christian McCaffrey, am I okay with that? Or do I want to push to get a mid-first plus later? The problem is that when you trade him in season, you're probably trading with a team that's going to be picking like 109 to 112.
Yeah.
So I just decide how much risk you want to carry. We've got an AJ Brown question, really. Some context, he earned 107 last year, considering kind of resetting at wide receiver. He's got A.J. Brown, Michael Pittman, Chris Godwin, Deontay Johnson at wide receiver. Wants to know if Malik Nabers and Rome Odunze are good enough to trade A.J. Brown away for both. So he gives up Brown, he gets both.
You get like the 102, 103. Yeah, I mean, that is, that's rough. I love A.J. Brown. I was a fan of him coming in. I really, really wanted him to go to the Seahawks. It seems like the perfect fit. Like he would have just taken over for Doug Baldwin when Doug Baldwin was leaving. And then, you know, DK Metcalf is what a consolation prize. But yes, I think I could do this and feel okay about it. That's really good value. Cause when you stop and think about it, this is not the correct way to think about it, but it helps. Where are Nabers and Odunze going to go in startup drafts versus where is A.J. Brown going to go? In a 1 QB, A.J. Brown's probably hitting the end of the first. Nabers is probably going to be mid-second. Like, he's probably coming in as the wide receiver 8-ish. You know, so getting a guy that's probably going to get drafted in a round below, Odunze won't be that far behind Nabers. So when you think about it, in a startup draft, would you trade the 111 for the 206 and 305? Probably.
Right.
So no, yeah.
I think it's definitely enough. This one's painful, but I'm gonna make you, we're gonna finish on one that makes you sick. And we talked about this earlier in the week with Mike Evans returning to Tampa for two more seasons, it looks like. The hope of the Chris Godwin bounce back seems to be disappearing very quickly. He's always been a guy who was a little older than it seemed like people realized. Yeah. I think he's 28 years old now, coming off of a negative season, which was coming off of an injury season. And now he's stuck with Evans and probably Baker Mayfield for the next two seasons. Somebody's got an offer of 208 and 404 in a super flex rookie league for Godwin. I don't like it. I also am not sure that you're going to get any more.
It's rough. Chris Godwin was one of those guys like Terry McLaurin, where you had hopes that something needs to go right, and this guy is good enough to be right. A wide receiver one. And it never really clicked. There were some injuries and bad quarterbacking. And the problem with having Jameis Winston as your quarterback is he's much more likely to throw to Mike Evans than he is to anyone else because he just likes chucking the ball. I don't want to take this. If you're rebuilding, I think you might have to if you, right. Again, if you're me and you have no patience and you want Godwin off your roster because you're rebuilding and it hurts your soul to see a 28-year-old wide receiver on your roster, which I don't really, like, you shouldn't do that. But again, I do it. I think you take this and feel gross about it. That's, maybe later you can get the 206, but like.
Right. You're not getting a first-round pick for Chris Godwin again.
You're not getting a first. So, it's negligible. I mean, you counter for a second and a third instead of a four. And maybe it makes you feel a little better. But I hate it because of how I feel about Godwin. I love Penn State pass catchers. Yeah. Like, I was always a Godwin fan. And it didn't work out as well as I would have liked.
No, it was a disappointing last couple of years for Godwin, but it was not a disappointing show, Russ. Thank you so much for being here. You did a fantastic job. I would encourage everybody to go follow him on Twitter at Dynasty Outhouse. Check out the link in the notes. Go give some money to Fantasy Cares. Join their bracket challenge on CBS. And, you know, go pick somebody other than Iowa to win the women's bracket. And you'll probably beat me. Thank you again for being here, Russ.
Thank you so much for having me on.
And to everybody else, we appreciate you in the chat. We appreciate you listening to the podcast. We will talk to you next Tuesday.